I like the feel in the room right now. This is good. You guys are a lot less tension than I think it was last week. I remember, like, tensions are high. Finals were, like, that next week. Anyone going into finals, like, sitting pretty, like, 97%, doesn't matter what you got on your final, just look right in the back. Yep, bombed the final, didn't matter. Anyone, like, in that awkward range, like 84%, so it's like, man, it's making or breaking it. Okay, who had the 89.947, and your teacher is like, you got to take the final. I'm not rounding that up. Yep, a lot. Perfect. Okay. I remember two classmates of mine in high school who were in the sitting pretty like section. They had a 98, and it didn't matter what they had on the final. This one guy, I promise you, he wrote ACDC, ACDC, ACDC on his Scantron. Miraculously, he got like a 64%. It was unbelievable. His other friend didn't do so well. He just went, C. Just like, C, 50 questions, C. Because he's like, well, no, I was always told if you guess, you go with C. And so he tried to figure out if that would work. It didn't work. So C might not be the best answer for every single answer. But it reminded me of this one story. One of my best friends in the world, he was in college. It was finals week. And he had one class left. One class left. And he had to just write 3 papers. And he's done. He graduates. He walks off to the real world. So he got, okay, you know, I got this. And he was a smart guy. So he was sitting pretty. All he needed was a C. He just needed C's on those papers. And so he's like, oh my gosh, I've got an idea. I'm going to get my wife to write my papers for me. Well, I'm going to cheat, but more so, I'm going to get my wife to write papers. She's bored. She's not doing anything. So, wait, want to write 3 essays for me? So she says, sure. And so she writes 3 essays for him. She's not a writer, apparently. And he found this out soon after she turned it in. Bombs him. Bombs those 3 essays. So he's freaking out because he's like, he's sitting on the computer, you know, like pressing refresh. Refresh. What did I get? What did I get? And it turns out, like, he didn't get. I think he didn't get a B. He didn't get a B. And he was freaking out because he's that guy. Like, I can't get a C. I can't get a C. C's get degrees. That's what everyone always says, right? But he's like, no, I can't. I have to get a B. And so he goes and he talks to the professor, and they work something out. He doesn't even find out that his wife cheated. That's a big problem, and I could go a million different ways with this illustration, but bottom line is he took a shortcut. He was lazy. He took a shortcut, and it ended up biting him in the butt like they usually do. Moral of the story is 3 things. C is not the right answer, usually. Don't treat women that way. And don't be lazy. We're going to talk today about, I think, it's a Christian virtue that is so important, but it's so disappearing in this culture right now, and it's, why do we work hard? Like, why do we work with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength? Why do we do that? If you've got your Bible, we're really going to be diving into this book called Colossians today. So grab your Bibles and go to Colossians 3. It's right there on the screen. And the writer is Paul, as is often the case when we teach up here. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. And Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians. And we're going to be in chapter 3 and 18. Verse 18 through 25 is instructions to the Christian household. He starts with wives. He starts with husbands, he starts with children, he goes to children, and then fathers, and then in verse 22, he includes slaves, which is interesting. You're like, okay, that's weird. Does Paul condone slavery? No, it was different back then. They were actually included in the household. It meant a little bit of a different thing. They were more respected and educated and valued more back then, and they were included in the household. And so he's talking to slaves, and this is the most applicable portion of that section today, and we're gonna dive into verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor. I'm going to stop there for a second. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything that you do, and not only when their eye is on you as to curry their favor. It reminded me of this quote by C.S. Lewis. Please finish it with me. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Paul says, listen, slaves, in this context, he says, when your earthly masters are watching you, don't just let that be the only time that you do good work. But what's interesting is this applies greatly to us because there are so many things and people that absolutely control us. We are slaves to so many things right now. I can't think of a more enslaving thing than social media. My wife and I realized, man, Instagram's starting to, like, take over my brain, and so we took a month off in December of just Instagram because I realized it's starting to take over. We are so concerned with serving and satisfying people rather than God that they soon become our earthly masters as well. And so this text just jumped out at me, and I realized, man, I'm a slave to this thing too. If you're anything like me, you tend to people please. Galatians 1:10, it says, Am I now trying to win human approval or God's approval? Am I trying to please people? Because if I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's something that I battle every day, and I've battled since I can remember. It's just, whenever I get into a group, I don't know if you're like me, but I tend to be the peacemaker. I tend to be the peacemaker, and I'm working it through, but like, I'm not one that's super confrontational. I'm one that kind of would rather maybe play it safe. Maybe you're like me, and you start sacrificing your identity, who you are, and maybe what's right, because you're more satisfied with the satisfaction of them rather than him. One thing to remember, guys, is we don't serve them. We serve them. We don't serve them. And we serve Christ. Because look at in verse 24 of Colossians 3, it says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Go back to 23, though. This is going to be the primary text, what I want to look at. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. We need to be reminded of this because this culture especially, with how fast we're moving and how quickly technology is starting to replace so many things. Don't get me wrong, like, this is an incredible thing. I'm not gonna be like old grandpa and say, oh no, we need to go back to the flip phone or no, do away with cell phones, because that's not what I'm saying. This thing's amazing. But in 45 seconds, when my wife and I were hungry, we pulled up 5 Thai food restaurants, looked at their menu, and then called and got directions on how to get there. Like, that's just insane. Here's where I'm going with this, though, is very subtly, culture is starting to teach us and ingrained into our mind is this sort of lifestyle and this mentality that I need to just, I can give less effort. Things are easy. They're faster. They're more accessible. I don't need to try quite as hard as I used to. It's very subtly being told to us in the media and just in lifestyle. You guys grew up in this. Like, that's pretty much all you know, but I don't want us to forget how and why, especially as a Christian, why we are to work with all of our heart, why we're to give everything. There's an awesome example of this guy in the world today that, like, really gets this. Who's seen the documentary on Netflix, Hero Dreams of Sushi? Really? Oh, man. Okay, write it down. Who likes sushi, first of all? This better be a show of thank you. Okay. I watched this documentary, and it blew my mind. This guy is a very short, 85-year-old Japanese sushi chef in this Tokyo subway. He's in the subway. He's got a restaurant the size of from here to that piano. There's 10 chairs, and if you want to make a reservation there, you don't do it a week in advance. You don't even do it a month in advance. You have to wait an entire year to go to this guy's restaurant and pay $300 a pop just to get in for sushi. If you're like me, I go to happy hour, like raw happy hour, and it's half off. Like, sushi's expensive. But why is it so expensive? Because this guy is the best on the planet. He goes to the fish market every morning, and he looks at 500 tunas, and he picks one. He's like, I want that one. That's the best. That's the very best one. I only want to serve my customers the very best quality that I can. And he tells the camera, he looks at the camera, and he says, in Japanese, I'm just kidding. But he says, why wouldn't you work as hard as you possibly can? The guy's not even a Christian. He says, I don't get it. Why don't you just find your craft, find what you love, find what you're passionate about, and give everything you've got towards that? And better yet, why wouldn't you just live life that way? What's worth not trying as hard as you can at something? And I was just sitting there like, man, this guy's speaking truth to me right now, and he has absolutely no idea what he's really saying. Because what's going to happen when he dies? Is he going to go into heaven, go up to God and be like, look, God, isn't this the greatest spicy tuna roll you've ever seen? And God's going to go, no, it's not. It's not. But more importantly, that's not the point of what you did. Like, why are you bringing your sushi into heaven? First off, it's impossible, just so you guys know. Like, you can't bring anything from this earth into heaven material-wise. That's why it says, "For you should lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth." Where what? Where moths can destroy, right? He says, look, hero, that wasn't the purpose for your life. Like, you didn't realize it, but like, your life, your work, your hard work has so much more purpose than what you did. Like, yeah, you did awesome things, man. That Netflix documentary is like one of the most popular ones on Netflix. Congratulations. But that wasn't your purpose for doing that. Maybe you're thinking, you're like, dude, Johnny, it's just sushi. No, it's the fact that he could have made such a greater impact than what he really did. Because when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when Jesus gives you a new life, when he has redeemed your life and has given it to you new and with a purpose, like, you have to use that for his glory. The most glorifying thing, one of the most glorifying things that I really think that you can do as a Christian, and I'm going to continue to preach today, is that you are to live fully for God. And essentially, that's not possible unless one other thing is true, and it's in here. Go to the left. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you are to live fully for the Lord, if you are to give all of you to the Lord, something else has to be true. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all. Why? It says that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised again. For Christ's love compels us. Does Jesus Christ move you? When you think of this, does this stir up anything in here? The fact that God, he knew that he had to send his perfect son into earth. Why? Because, well, yeah, he had to do an incredible ministry there. He had to heal lepers. He fed the poor and he did amazing things, and he taught incredible things. He was a great teacher, but the Pharisees knew that. But ultimately, he was sent because he had to be murdered. Because our life had to be redeemed. That was the only possible way. It was for perfect Jesus Christ to be slain and for his blood to cover our sins. And God knew ultimately that Jesus' purpose was for that. Does that at all move you? Guys, the bottom line, and as simple as I can make it, and this is my first point today, is that we are to give God all of us because he deserves it. Like, that's as simple as I can make it. When you get to the bottom line, when you get to the very core, like, why should I even give God 100%? It's because he deserves nothing less. Like, he deserves nothing less. This isn't the case for a lot of us, and I'm myself is included in that. This was one of the most convicting messages I've ever studied for, and as I'm teaching you right now, it's still convicting me because I realize there is so much more I could have given and that I should have given. Bottom line, God deserves nothing less than that, and I think Paul understood this more than anyone else in the New Testament. Go to the left, one other book. It's actually the 1 Corinthians, the letter of the 1 Corinthians. He says this in verse 9. We'll throw up on the screen. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And he says in Philippians 2, he says, When I hold firmly to the word of life, and I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Paul continuously conveys in his life that he will gladly spend his days spent for Jesus, being used by God with everything that he's got. And I was talking to a friend, his name's Daniel. He's actually one of your volunteers' studly boyfriend. I'll tell you why he's studlier than any of us right now. Because in November, right, November, he competed in something I 100% know I will never, ever, 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 ever compete in, and that was called an Ironman. Who actually knows what an Ironman is? Oh, do you? What is it? It's a triathlon, correct? You're gonna quiz me. What's first? Swimming, almost. If you were to fill Gilbert with water, you would have to swim from here to Target. It's a 2.4-mile swim. Next, you hop on a bike and you'd ride it from here to Tucson. It's a 112-mile bike ride. And just for fun, you'd run a marathon. You know, why not? Let's just end with a marathon, right? And so you'd run a marathon. You'd run from here to Chase Field. One day, I'm going to continue this race theme here for a second, because you have any idea how much training is involved in something like that? Months, a year. And at some point in time in the race, he told me, is at the end of the marathon, which is hilarious, because for me it's like the first lap of the swim. He says, dude, Every muscle hurt. My ears hurt, man. Every muscle hurt. Everything inside of me was just depleted. Dude, there wasn't an electrolyte left in my body. And I knew I had to finish. He had something inside him that just kept him going. It was the finish line. It was a bunch of motivations inside, but ultimately there was nothing physical that he could really give anymore. Everything was completely mental, and it was in here. And Christians, the Bible says that your life is like a race. It requires strength. It requires endurance. It requires training. It requires discipline. It requires a bunch of things, but ultimately, it requires a laser beam focus on Jesus. That is your finish line. Because there will come a point in time when physically you've got nothing left. You feel like circumstances arise where you can't give all that you've got. We're called to give everything we've got, to work hard with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Why? One, because God deserves it. Not depending on circumstance or situation, just because. And when you're focused, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, that changes things. To give everything you've got until you've got nothing left. And we're to serve with our attitude. We're to serve with our mind. Guys, God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you characteristics. He's given you situations and a reason for every single thing. And above all, he's got a plan for that. And this is my second point. You're to give everything you've got too, because you're to be an incredible witness. And I can't think of many more standout things than working hard amidst circumstances. This is the part of the message where this is what it means for us, because I think one of the greatest ways to be a witness is to have an unwavering attitude of your heart that gives everything no matter what is going on. Not just when you're in a good mood, not just when things are going your way or whatever you're good at. It's easy to give all that you've got when you're good at it and you see the outcome, but to give everything you've got just because God deserves it. And you understand, man, I'm called to be a witness, and this is a powerful way of doing that. We're about to step into 2014. What is it, Tuesday, right? Tuesday. We're about to step into a new year. I love this time of the year. It's weird because it's just a day. Like, it's just a day, but like something feels weird when you change that date on your paper to that new number. And I know it takes like a couple weeks for you to not 13 anymore. Something is weird. The sun isn't in the exact same position. It's just as cold as it was the night before, but like it just feels different. It does. And so when you look back on 2013, maybe you weren't marked by this mentality. Maybe you didn't really just understand fully why it is that we should work as hard as we should for the Lord. But I want us to look into 2014. And I was like, I don't want this to be another New Year's resolution message. But you know what? I was like, screw it. Like that, it's a perfect time. It's a perfect time for us to gain momentum into this next year. And I can't feel like a better way to start that. Because listen, when you go back to school, something feels different. Like, I remember when it was that last semester, I could feel the back end of school. Like, I could tell, like, oh, man, I'm almost done. 5 months away. Like, it's just as much as, you know, it's you're still halfway, but, like, you could feel that you're almost done. Freshman, you've got 3.5 years left. Someone's like that. Are you a senior? No, someone's like, that sucks. Seniors, you got 5 months. Here's where I'm going with this. You've got probably the best opportunity and the greatest platform as a Christian as you will in your entire life is in high school, to be a witness and to be a Christian. There's not much time left. Three and a half years, freshman, seems like a long time, but it's not. And 5 months is super short. Listen, I want you guys to dedicate your life, this especially in 2014, and going into this next school year with this kind of a mentality, this kind of an impact. God deserves all of it. Bottom line, he deserves that. But ultimately, it's an incredible witness. Seniors, I'll speak to you just for a quick second. It's natural to feel senioritis. You'll feel it, but you just gotta push that away. Like yesterday, I said senioritis doesn't exist, and people looked at me like, "Well, yeah, that technically does." Okay, I get that. I want to reverse senioritis for a second. I want you to confuse people that you're still doing homework. I want people to be like confused, like, "What are you doing? I'm still doing homework. Why?" Dude, I just got to finish out. I got to finish strong, okay? Here's what I want us to do. I want us freshmen, volunteers, me, myself included, to understand that it's about making an impact, and that is an incredible way to do that. It's by working hard, not matter what the circumstance is. And it's an incredible message to send to people. It really is an incredible message to send to people, because working with all of our heart and with all of our mind is not only an opportunity, but it's a proper response for what God has done, because he deserves it. Let's pray. Jesus, as I've preached today once again, I'm convicted by your spirit of the times of when I could have given you more, and please help me to remember, and everyone in this room today, to remember that you, the giver of life, you gave us our life. And it's only fitting that we give all of it back to you, because, Lord, you deserve it. And may we be so moved by your love that we can't help but glorify you with all of our heart. In doing that, Lord, we understand what an incredible witness that can be. So, Lord, please pierce our hearts with that truth this morning, and may we enter into this new year. As we step into this new year, may we be challenged, convicted, and encouraged to do that. I pray this in your incredible name. Amen. All right. Love you guys. You have an awesome new year. Be safe.